Musings of the Mick, talking about board games and related stuff. Greetings and salutations, one and all, that are tuning in to this episode of Musings of the Mick. Continuing with the trend of telling you the episode number, we are here with one of my favorite numbers and the Baker's Dozen episode number, and that is number 13. In this episode, we are going to get a bit heavy. And how are we going to do that? I think I'm going to talk about the mental health benefits I have found in board games, as well as certain games that may help others with those mental health benefits. But before that, we will, of course, talk about recent plays and crowdfunding. So let's go ahead and get on with that now. All right, got two small games here that I'm reviewing for you. The first one is Marvel Remix from WizKids. This is an iteration of Fantasy Realms, an all-time favorite of ours. If you're not sure what Fantasy Realms is, it's going to be the same thing kind of as Marvel Remix. You're going to start with a hand of cards. You're going to then draw a card from the deck or one from the discard area, and you're basically trying to manage your hand of cards to score for the cards in your hand. And the way that you score is based on those cards. Like, one might say you're going to get so many points for this specific tag, because that is what the difference is in Marvel Remix, is it's focused more on tags than it is on the interactions of cards per se. So this card might give you 4 points for every little radioactive icon on the cards. So you're going to be trying to collect cards for that, or get rid of that card and get one that works better with the cards in your hand. In my opinion, this one does score a bit easier than Fantasy Realms. Like, I guess there is a scoring website out there, but there is no scoring app like there is for Fantasy Realms, because it is literally just lay them out, look at the tags. So there's not as much like, well, this card's going to blink this card unless you have this card to do this card. So it does have that little easier scoring for me. So that also does mean that the scores don't get as high as Fantasy Realms. In Fantasy Realms, we were constantly scoring like 180 to 250. In Marvel Remix, I think maybe we got to 100, if that. But yeah, our score on Marvel Remix usually isn't as high as Fantasy Realms. I will say some of the cards do seem harder to get, especially in a two-player game. I had one where I had Thor. In order to transform him, you need to have these certain cards. Well, I looked and there's only like 9 of those in this deck of 53. So chances of getting 2 of those in a two-player game does kind of go down a bit. I will say Bri does prefer Fantasy Realms over this, mainly because of that scoring app there was. She didn't have to do any math at the end of the game. We just put in all the cards and it did the work for us. I personally like both of them a lot. I am leaning right now towards Marvel Remix currently, but I want to play them back to back to see if it's just because I've played that more recently and see which one feels better. So overall, I would say this is a nice, small, portable game worth checking out, especially if you are a Marvel fan. I think I've seen there's like a Star Trek Missions that is very similar to these as well. Not a huge Star Trek guy, so I haven't really looked into it, but I have seen mention of that. The other game we're going to talk about is Here to Slay. This comes to us from Unstable Games. This is a imprint of the company T-Turtle. If you've seen them, they have all the cutesy patootie type of t-shirts with all the little cute characters and the sayings, and they do license stuff. So they basically use that art in the game. So if I think there's like a unicorn with a knife on its head, I believe that's in Here to Slay. So you're going to get, if you've seen that art, you know the art in the game. In this one, you are going to be taking actions on your turn, attempting to either assemble a full party or defeating 3 monsters from the middle. On your turn, you're going to have 3 action points, and the actions have varying costs. For 1 point, you can draw a card, you can play a hero from your hand, or you can choose to activate a hero ability, which involves a dice roll. For 2 points, you can attack the monster. You basically choose a monster, roll the dice, add any bonuses, and see if you succeed. They basically have a range. If you roll this number or less, you fail. This number or higher, and you succeed. If you fail, usually you have to get rid of a card or something, and you succeed. You get the monster, who might give you an added bonus benefit, or you might get cards or various other things like that. Or for all 3 of your action points, you can just discard your whole hand and draw 5 cards. For me, this game's okay. It kind of fell flat with me. There is a fair amount of take that in there, and you can kind of avoid it, but it really diminishes the game at that point if you don't do the whole take that. In fact, it's because of a pseudo take that maneuver that I won the game, because I basically used my one hero to steal one of Bri's heroes. Granted, I gave her that hero that I stole it with, but I had 2 of those, played a hero, had a full team. Plus, I then attacked the monster, so I had 3 monsters. Like I said, it probably shines better with more players than just 2. The unstable games always do seem to kind of have that pseudo party element where they're expecting you to have like 4 or 5, maybe even 6 players and just this huge kind of, oh, look, I took your character and oh, I'm going to get him. Oh, I missed the roll. That type of moments kind of seems to be what they rely on, as opposed to like the super strategic gameplay, which, I mean, that's fine. There are groups out there like that. Just like I said, for a 2-player game with how we do it, just not a fan of that. So as of now, it's staying in the collection because Bri thought it was decent and we might try and get the youth to play it. That was one of the main reasons I actually originally got it, was because when they were starting to think about getting the D&D and kind of fantasy stuff, I grabbed it. We just never got it played with them. But I will say it is high on my list that if we need to cull games, I'm going to be like, well, you know, there is a Hair to Slay over there. I will say there are actually expansions for this too that add other character classes and such, but probably not going to get those, obviously. But so those are the 2 game reviews that I'm giving you this episode. We are now going to get into that crowdfunding thing, so get ready. All right, let's try and blow through these crowdfunding games super quick because I have a feeling my topic is going to take some time. First up, we have Earth Abundance. It's an expansion to the game Earth, coming to us from Inside Up Games. Earth was my number one game of 2023, so of course we are interested in this expansion. Earth is a beautiful-looking tableau builder. What happens is on someone's turn, they select an action, then everyone does a lesser version of that action, and then everybody triggers cards of that color that's in their tableau. So with doing that, there is so much combo and engine-building fun in this one. It's got this great table presence as these tree pieces get built up, and you have these towering trees if they have that much height on them. But what is new in this expansion? Well, they're giving you player interactions with events or cards that allow you to benefit from your neighbor. There's going to be seeds, which you can transform them into sprouts, growth, soil, compost, or use them in the new germination action. That new germination action allows you to search the earth pile for specific scoring conditions to better curate your hand, because that was always the issue. Huge deck. You need certain cards that have a certain percentage only in the deck. This allows you, apparently, to go grab them. It also allows you the ability to temporarily store your sprouts on your abundance board until you get a card out that will allow you to put the sprouts on them. They also give you the support for a 6th player. Obviously, we're not going to use that unless we want to play 3 games at the same time. I doubt we're going to do that, though. So in all, they're adding 80 new cards to the game. They're also going to be adding this massive resource upgrade pack to beautify the components in the game. They're going to be the seeds that are coming with it are going to be plastic bits. The soil becomes coins. The sprouts get leaves on top. The growth pieces are 3 different shapes and then unique shape toppers as well. And these all are going to be getting made with plastic that is safe for the environment. We really like the look of those sprout tokens and wish they were sold separately because we don't want to spend the money that it is for this whole pack. And Bri isn't a big fan of the tree toppers or the tree pieces. We really just like those sprout tokens. But oh well. So we are definitely getting the expansion, but are more than likely passing on the crazy upgraded bits. Next, we have Booba Kiki and Stroop reprint from Grand Gamers Guild. Booba Kiki, I may not be pronouncing those right, is a cooperative communication party game. It is based on a real psychological effect. It's an effect where there is a mental association between sounds and shapes. Like to people, Booba makes them think of like a rounded shape, whereas Kiki is like sharp angles and pointiness. In this game, you're going to be laying out 3 word cards. They're not like actual words like potato or anything, but they are basically words that are kind of like blitter. You'll be laying out 3 of those cards. Then the active player is going to choose a picture card from their hand, put it down, and then lock into what word they are playing in that end, obviously face down so no one can see it. Then everyone else is going to try and decipher what word that clue giver is trying to convey with that card. And then they put down their markers, and then you're trying to get the hit marker to reach the end before the miss marker, and obviously the hit marker moves if you're correct, and the miss marker moves if you are wrong. In addition to all that, they are going to have a book of scenarios that you're able to play through. In addition to this game, they are also doing a reprint of Stroop. This is, again, based on a real psychological effect, and this one being a delay in reaction time caused by conflicting input. So say if the card has the word blue, but it's colored red, and in this round you need to say what color the word is. Well, then you need to say that, but you're looking and you want to say that it's colored red, so you should say red, but you want to say blue because your mind is seeing the word blue. So it kind of slows you down and you're trying to decipher the 2 different colors. I will say the youth and I excel at this one. Bri, not so much. So we do have a regular copy, so we're probably not going to get the reprint, even though it looks beautiful. This is a game that makes more sense when you see it and play it than me trying to describe it, because it is literally a whole visual thing. And I will say that this is a company that we are definitely a fan of. They deliver well when they run the crowdfundings. You'll remember I was a big fan of Tyranog. That was them. They also have this whole line of escape room games that are just these small packages and really portable. And finally, we're going to cover Snowcrest. This one is actually on GameFound as opposed to those other two, which were on Kickstarter. So this GameFound campaign is brought to you by Grail Games. You're going to be building a 3x3 grid of villagers in front of you on this cloth mat. Each player starts with their own deck of cards, and then there's going to be villagers in the middle of the table. On your turn, you're going to do one of three actions. You're either going to activate a card, add a new villager, or rest. If you activate, you're going to choose one of your face-up villagers, perform the action, flip them over. If you add a card, you're going to add the card to your display, either in an empty space or on top of a face-up villager to remove them from your board. You're then going to activate that card, and again, flip it over. These abilities may also activate or cause other things to trigger, so you could do some combos. Your final one with the rest is you're going to get a resource for each villager still face up, and you need the resources to put out villagers. And then you're going to flip all of your cards face up so they're all ready to go on your next turn. This game looks beautiful. The artwork is really stunning and fantastic, and just in the style that we really enjoy. As I mentioned, the player mats are cloth, which is a bit different than normal. They're not doing neoprene or punch board. They have these nice cloth mats that they've been posting like examples of. The card playing seems really satisfying to us. We love kind of building that grid and possibly triggering all these crazy combos, which again, many combos can be had when activating those cards. This does end May 6th, and it's very reasonably priced, in my opinion, for the amount of content. You're getting a lot of tokens, a lot of cards, a good gameplay, those cloth mats. And they have a deluxe pledge that adds upgraded resources and expansions. So those are the three I'm covering in depth. I want to mention a few games that are going to be coming in the next week to crowdfunding, and I'll probably be covering these later on. The first is Kinfire Council from Incredible Dream Studios is launching April 30th. Next up, House of Fado is launching May 2nd. That's from Eagle Griffin. This is basically Vitell's Lacerda game, but made for everybody. Then two games that I've covered on the channel or will be covering on the channel for hashtag Microgames May. Search that hashtag. And that is Micro Midgard and One Card Maze. I believe both of those are launching May 1st. All right, so after this commercial break, let's get on with that mental health talk, shall we? Add repeat time, because it is that important to us. Patreon! Hey, y'all, it is an ad break time, and I am taking this one to highlight something that is important to us, and that is our Patreon. Patreon is a platform where you can help support creators that you enjoy. So if you enjoy our content, I humbly request you think about heading over and checking it out. Link is in the description down below. For a very nominal fee, you can have access to our initial reactions or spoiler-filled reviews. And if the numbers start growing, we can start affording to do more for those cubers. That's what we like to call our Patreon supporters, because we're merry, merry meeples. That's M to third power, M cubed, cubers. I digress. We have ideas for various merchandise or polls and the like, but we can't do that without the support of you all. So head on over and join the community, especially so you can have bragging rights of being some of the first people on this wild train ride. Hope to see you there. Now back to our regularly scheduled programming. All right, mental health. So I'm going to preface this segment by saying I have no formal training in the mental health field. My mother did run a panic and anxiety support group. She also went to college to get her social worker degree. So basically, while she was studying and helping people with that panic, anxiety, and all those mental health issues, I did gather some knowledge from her, but a lot of this is my own personal thoughts and feelings. So again, no book learning. So take it for what it is just a person rambling on about things that he thinks he knows. So let me start with a bit about myself and kind of why I'm dovetailing into this topic with these games. So I've never really been one for crowds. I used to be able to handle them. I mean, I've done Gen Con numerous times, and people who've been to Gen Con know those are some crowds. However, the pandemic seemed to trigger something inside me where now I really have a hard time going to crowds or leaving the house much. We did do Gen Con in 2021, but we knew it was going to be reduced vendors, reduced crowds. It was actually the best Gen Con experience I ever had, because there was actually booths that didn't show up. So it actually gave you this little spot you could get out of the crowds. It was fantastic. Also, I went to Origins last year, tried that crowd. Unfortunately, went on my own, and that was a huge mistake. had a horrible time, came back after one day. I always joke that it just seems like chaos finds me whenever I leave the house, as there's always something strange, unusual that happens. It's why the youth loves going places with me, because they always see all this strange, unusual craziness and just things that amuse them happens. But in my head, no, it's just madness, chaos. I need to get back to my house where I can maintain stuff. All that could be true, that madness is happening around me, or I could just be manifesting it. Either way, it is what is my perception. So because of that, I basically severely limit where I go outside of the house. When I go, like, I basically go and pick up the youth from school. I come home. I may do certain runs to certain stores that I know I need to be there to pick out this stuff, but it is very limited. That, or if I'm having a really good day where I feel I can handle outdoors, I'll head outdoors. I also am not one who makes friends easily or otherwise. I am definitely an introvert and tend to stay away from social settings. I had a small group of friends in high school. As is the case, you kind of veer away from them. Things happen. You grow apart. You drift apart. People move away. So that whole group is gone. At work, I had some friends and they moved away. I'm no longer working outside of the house. I'm doing stuff at home. So I don't have those friends there anymore either. So it really is kind of more the loner, almost like a hermit lifestyle, but with people who live with me. So hermit with an asterisk, I guess you'll say. So for me, board games are like that escape and a way to get away from that reality. It's a way I can experience these new things and keep my mind active. It's a way that, you know, I can experience like a world outside of my own. Go into this area where I can just, you know, do what I want, not be hindered by the way my mental state is making me act. Especially with the abundance of solo games lately, it gives you, even if you don't have anyone home with you like I do most of the day. The youth is at school, Bri is at work, so I'm home alone. I have these solo games that I can go and just get my mind invested in there, as opposed to just sitting around, mindlessly messing around on my phone, where I'm just gonna, the thoughts just are just gonna wander into how life is. Because what we need to remember is that games are a form of entertainment like a movie or a book, so it provides that world that we can all escape too, and that is what I always see as the main benefit of board games. It helps bond people as a family and allows you that escape. Even better in regards to that is there are companies out there now that are making games that you can use to calm yourself or just take that mental break, just to calm down, reset your day, reload if you had a hectic day. One of those games is A Gentle Rain from Incredible Dreams Studios. I've talked about this company before. They're doing crazy cool stuff with all of their games. A Gentle Rain was originally designed by one of the people who helped found Incredible Dream Studios, so he brought it back through them, and it's literally just made for the reason to relax. If you read the rule book, the first step basically says, you know, get into some comfy clothes, make yourself a tea, a hot cocoa, sit down somewhere comfy, relax, take a deep breath, let it go, and then you can start. So it's literally relax and now play this game. And it is just a small, simple game of placing out tiles, matching flower colors, blooming some flowers. They tell you how to keep score, but they're like, hey, if you don't want to keep score, whatever. Just take this mental break. Use this game to relax. Another one of those types of games is one that I just previewed on the channel called One Card Maze. And this is the perfect thing to keep in your pocket, wallet, purse, etc. It is like a fidget spinner, but better. With a fidget spinner, all you're going to be doing is mindlessly spinning the thing. And yeah, that can help with the fidgetiness, but your mind can still wander because anyone here who's played with a fidget spinner knows it becomes mindless after a while and you don't even know what you're doing. You're just starting to think on other stuff. Not with One Card Maze, because you're trying to focus. How am I going to get through this maze? What's going to happen? How can I get there with the bosses they have? How can I come in a different way? So it keeps your mind engaged beyond just taking care of the fidgety spinniness of it. It's a very good mind distractor. Another benefit of games is they keep you busy. So back to a little bit about me is over COVID, I developed what some people categorized as a drinking problem. I personally had it under control. I was fine with it. They categorized it as a problem. I would basically drink every night because there wasn't anything else to do. No one was up for playing the games. I had a hard time just focusing on the solo games at that point. Plus, I hadn't built up my collection yet, so no one to do anything, fine. Then I guess I'm just going to drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. Granted, I did then go in the middle of the night and do yard work, so I did do beneficial stuff. But still, drinking every night in that excess amount is not a healthy thing. But now, I can distract myself with games and not have that idle time where I would just make a drink instead. So now it's down to the occasional drink as opposed to every night. Or if I do have one every night. It is literally just one drink just to kind of unwind from the day. So that is another benefit, is that it can just keep people engaged and where they're not like, oh, well, I have nothing else to do. Well, I'm going to grab this. Or even with people who are smoking, who basically say they do it because, you know, they're bored or they have nothing to do, or they do something with their hands. Throw out a board game. They're going to be invested in that game. They're not even going to be thinking about these other cravings or anything, because they're going to be focused on the strategy and how am I going to move my pieces. So that whole mind-distracting element, plus you're bonding at that time because you're spending time there and you are creating this experience you guys can talk about later. Another thing that's cool about that is it's getting rid of that geek and nerd stigma of gaming in general, and it's just a great hobby that anyone can do with amazing benefits. There are literally games out there that are for anyone. Like, you, if you have a hobby or an interest, they have a game for it. So as long as you can get people to be fine with playing a game, you can find something that will draw them in. Going back to that relaxing nature of the games, you can tell that this trend is continuing and picking up steam. A few episodes ago, I talked about Mythwind, a huge, large Kickstarter that just wrapped up. It did massive numbers as a reprint because it did massive numbers before. And literally their tagline is the coziest game you will play. It's like Animal Crossing and Stardew Valley, two games that are just these Sims where it's just about everyday life and just relaxing and devoting your time to this in game form. So it is a great example of that. And even better is it's a large and ever-evolving game that is all about relaxation and playing a cozy game and not just a quick mind break and back to craziness like A Gentle Rain. Like, as great as that game is, it's 15 minutes and you're back to that craziness. Mythwind, you can like devote yourself to this, and it's going to create that element where you want to keep coming back and playing it, because you are developing this great world and this cool world that you're invested in this cozy environment, and you can immerse yourself in there. So it creates that bond between you and game to want to do. I have seen an uptick in these games that are more about engaging the mind and working out problems together. The co-op games are taking off massively, as opposed to just mindless battles and slaughtering each other. Mind you, those games haven't gone away, nor should they. I mean, those are what some people need to help them distress. I don't know about you, but I know when I was younger, I would spend hours playing fighting games like Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, or first-person shooters like Halo. You have the Call of Duties now. There was Wolfenstein, because sometimes that is exactly what you do need to distress. I mean, sometimes you are angry and just filled with all the stress that you don't want to just sit down and play this game that's trying to relax you. You just want to let loose in a video game and just blow stuff up and shoot things and just let that anger out in a fake world so you're not taken out in the real world. So you still do need those board games where you can, you know, chuck all those dice and run your people in through the door and just smash things. So that's why it is so cool that there are all these different games that let you experience in all these different worlds and all these different abilities and all these different mechanics. And there are games that aren't even technically combative that can do that. You have Throw a Burrito, where literally you're going to be throwing these soft burritos at each other, almost like dodgeball. Or you have the youth favorite, which is Taco Cat, Goat, Cheese, Pizza. In that one, you're going to the going around the table, saying a word, Taco, Cat, Goat, Cheese, Pizza. And as you're doing that, you're flipping a card up. And then if you say a word and the card you flip up matches, everyone slaps the middle. So you have everyone just slapping in the middle and hitting each other's hands. And there's cards like the Narwhal where you got to do certain actions. So it's just this crazy nonstop laughter fun, because the last slapper takes all the cards, and you want to have no cards at the end. You want to get rid of all your cards. So in theory, it's not meant to be violent. I mean, as violent as slapjack, but boy, does it take a turn during play. But afterwards, everyone just feels better from laughing so much. It's just that laying out of all that stress and all that energy and just enjoying that family bonding experience. So in conclusion, I know this was a bit of a heavier topic, but sometimes that is where my musings land. I hope this gave you some things to think about, or even some ways that you can help others. Just remember, take care of yourself, because no one else can. You know what is best for you typically. Try and make it work with those around you for the betterment of yourself and your relationships. Now, let's see what's coming up on the channel. So what is coming up on the YouTube channel? Well, we're starting to settle into a rhythm on YouTube again, now that we've kind of tweaked around our schedule. And that rhythm consists of Kickstarter previews, solo plays, campaign plays. And what does it all do? But now we are also going to be sprinkling in It's Couples Play every few weeks as well. So those solo plays are going to consist of the obligatory beginning of the month Flux play, which this month I will be doing taking on Nature Flux as nature is coming back into bloom. And then I'm continuing with that nature theme. My other solo is going to be A Gentle Rain. You heard me talk about that in the topic of this just being this relaxing, soothing experience. So you'll be able to check out how soothing that is. For those previews, we are wrapping up our coverage of those micro games May that I talked about in the crowdfunding thing with Micro Midgard and Scrapbots. These two are doing a lot in a small package. Scrapbots is a two-player deck-building dueling game. Micro Midgard is a two-player rondel that comes in a small package. The campaigns are continuing in our trifecta of campaigns, that being Monster Expedition, My City Roll and Build, and Quilts and Cats of Calico, which is done digitally. And as I said, we'll have It's Couples Play returning, this time with a quick dexterity game called A Dice Flick. Add a sprinkle of What Does It All Do in there as well, and that is it for our YouTube stuff. And now, the time for ramblings will end with the outro info as follows. Feel free to drop by the YouTube channel or any of our socials and let us know what you like or don't like. Please do it nicely. Thank you! Those socials are Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Merry Married Meeples. On Twitter, X, we are at Merry Married. Also, be sure to head over and check out our Patreon, as I talked about in the commercial. Link, again, is in the description down below. In 2 weeks, I will grace your airwaves, where I plan on talking about even more companies we trust and like, which is what I covered in the last episode, but I know I missed a few, so we're going to rectify that next episode. So until then, enjoy your days.